Okay, so this is going to be my political folder, I guess. And this folder, or you may just fill up this folder with whatever, and then use the next folder until that gets full. But in any case, it's about a little bit after 6 on Monday the 23rd, and I'm thinking about going to the town hall meeting that starts at 7, and they're going to have a hearing about development in Northside. And if I do go, I want to talk about the history of the how the way that desegregation was carried out, and particularly the closing down of Lincoln High School and all of the black schools, was sort of a very large beginning step, along with the expansion of the university, in starting the gentrification and really the destruction of the black community. And I want to talk about the institutional racism that characterizes public policy at both in the town at Owosso and in at the university on issues of development. Basically, all of these policies favor high-end development. No coincidence, since the developers and the university envision Chapel Hill as an elite paradise. And I don't believe in coincidences, so look at Roger Perry being the head of the Board of Trustees at UNC and also one of the main developers in Chapel Hill, and also the head of the private corporation that's going to develop University Square for UNC. You look at all the publications about Chapel Hill and so on and so forth, and they all present this glowing image of an elite community. It may be portrayed as diverse and green, but it is elite, and all of the ways that development are carried out, or the housing policies of the university, or the funding for water and sewer extensions by Owosso, all of these things are set up in such a way that they impact the black community in a very negative way. And that is not something that's inevitable. Some people on the council, and the council more generally, seems to either be supportive of this kind of development or very defeatist about doing anything about it. There is a commitment to what's called affordable housing, but this policies relating to that have not had a great impact on the survival of the black community, and are completely inadequate from my point of view. What I hear from council members sometimes is that there's nothing we can do about this, or that this is a law of capitalism, and I don't believe that those things are true. I think those are ways of looking at the issue that sort of accommodate to the path of least resistance, which is do things the way the developers want it done, and maybe make some minor modifications, but nothing that really seriously challenges the private power of capital. And what I think a distinction that we need to really keep in mind a great deal that is particularly timely is the distinction between public and private. And in the private sphere, a capital characterizes the main power within the private sphere. And there's no reason to think that business people or developers or anyone who is, you know, pretty much guided by the principle of capital accumulation and private profit is going to take the necessary steps to ensure the public good. And the public is a separate part of society. The public has to ensure the public good. The public's primary interest is not private profit. The public has to ensure public safety, public health, public transportation, and also development that, you know, guarantees the sustainability of the community and is not carried out in such a way that the poor and primarily black and Latino parts of the community get increasingly marginalized. And that's where public policy can impact private profit and the kind of development that that promotes. And this is, as I said, particularly timely because all we have to do is look on the national scene and see what unregulated capitalism has led to and the inevitable and compelling choice that we clearly have to make is to, for the public, to regulate these big private corporations and to do so in the public interest. And that's what the rage about the AIG bonuses is all about. It's a demand from the public for the government, the public, supposed to be the representative of the public, to guarantee the public good. So I do have some specifics to talk about the expansion of the university and the fact that housing policies don't require students to live on campus. That has led to a flooding of the students into the community and has made the value of property climb rapidly because developers see an opportunity to take over the homes of African Americans or others and turn them into high-profit student housing. The policies of WASA that fund water and sewer extensions only to new developments or based on including those costs within the cost of a developer for a new development, rather than ensuring that the communities that already exist will also be served by the extension of water and sewer. You have a situation like Rogers Road where new developments in the Rogers Road area get water and sewer, and the older residents, longtime residents, who are predominantly black, do not. And that's a public policy, OASIS, way of doing that funding. Then you have policies by the town, such as the way that development is dealt with. Many years ago, at least 15, 20 or more years ago, a group of developers and town officials got together and decided that the direction of development in Chapel Hill would be what's called infill, which is high-density development. And the vision that guided that was a vision of elite, high-end development. And so we have all of the new developments from the Franklin Hotel on West Franklin Street to all of the big new developments of the last 15 years on West Rosemary. And all of these have tremendously impacted the black community in a very negative way, causing land prices to rise and therefore come into play the property tax methods of the county and state. And since these don't give any consideration to sustainability and merely to the question of profitability, how much money could a person, what's the market value of a person's property, and that determines the property tax. But what actually happens is that, for instance, black people who have been longtime residents of of Northside, who own their homes, have steadily seen their property taxes go up, even though they haven't made improvements to their property, and they may not have, but certainly their taxes have gone up at a far faster rate than anything that they're responsible for. And therefore they sometimes find their property taxed at a higher rate per year than it cost them to build their house in the first place. And basically what's been going on for years, even before the 1960s, long before the 1960s, in the 1920s, there was a big scandal about it actually. And this process is known as black people getting their land taxed out from under them. So all of these public policies are reflections of, they are in fact institutional racism, and they can be changed if there is a strong movement within the people of Chapel Hill, and there's courageous and visionary leadership on the part of our political leaders. And so that's what needs to happen in my view, and if it doesn't, in my opinion, that's merely the lack of courage and vision on the part of public officials, and a lack of hope and organizing within the community and vision for justice.